Hi, I'm Rashmi Dubey, ESG litigation partner at Gunner Cook. And over the next few weeks, I'll be talking to you about the importance of ESG litigation and how there's going to be an increase of this type of litigation, particularly from stakeholders, and not just against the corporations. I mean, that's understood. But this is really against the directors and them personally. No longer can directors sit back and say, I'm sorry, but we just didn't know the impact this was going to have on our stakeholders. If you'd like to know more, please do contact me and watch out for my posts. Hi, I'm Rashmi Dubey and welcome to this week's article. And we're talking about the importance of board minutes, and that is particularly around ESG matters. The importance of board minutes should never, ever be underestimated, particularly when it comes to the role of ESG, which is the environmental, social and governance. If it is not already a standing part of the agenda of any board of directors meetings, it should be, giving the rise and interest from stakeholders around organisations and their actions and their strategic approach around people and planet. Directors have woken up to the ESG issues and are approaching them with a different perspective at board level. They are a key topic for any business leader. Stakeholders are holding organisations accountable for their profits, which are entwined with issues around sustainability. This goes beyond compliance and the risk mitigation talks that we've generally talked about. Directors need to understand that the board minutes are a reflection of what has been discussed and what has been agreed. If you personally, as a director, including NEDs, do not agree with the course of action and you still feel somewhat comfortable to remain as a director, your dissenting view ought to be documented in the board minutes. This is not just due to the needing for an accurate record of your views at any given moment, but also important for later down the road in case of any type of litigation, including ESG litigation. There is, of course, an additional issue of the lack of skills and knowledge around ESG, and if the board of directors have identified this, then they have a responsibility within a short space of time to fix the gap. It is not enough to identify and document it in minutes. That is what is required. But when a full review of ESG matters are done in a corporate basis, you do require the skills and knowledge to help you make that assessment. Another reason for making ESG a standard point of reporting in the minutes is that it can be used in litigation later down the road. There has been a growing activity amongst corporates taking out injunctions against their competitors for false accusation claims, such as their competitors are greenwashing. Recently, in Italy, there was a consideration as to whether green claims constituted an act of unfair competition under Article 2598, Section 3 of the Italian Civil Code, in the form of misleading advertising, as defined by the Unfair Commercial Practice Directive. This was implemented by decree by the Italians, which alleged that the claims were vague, false, non-verified, or non-verifiable. On this basis, the party in the legal case known as Alcantara requested an interim injunction preventing its competitor from continuing to make such environmental claims as, quote, and these are green claims, which were being made by the other party, Myco, included statements as, and I give you a quote here, made of recycled polyester, environmentally friendly, natural choice, eco-friendly microfiber, the first and only microfiber that guarantees environmental sustainability throughout the production cycle, the first sustainable and recyclable microfiber, 100% recyclable, 100% recyclable at the end of its life cycle, reduction of energy consumption and GHG emissions by 80%, reduction of carbon footprint through polyester recycling, absence of harmful substances, use of non-harmful dyes, and use of neutral and non-toxic dyes, unquote. The court ruled that these statements were vague, generic, false, and non-verifiable, and needed to be immediately removed from the website, social media platform, TV advertisements, magazines, and other promotional material. The court also ordered Myco to publish a court's decision on its website for 60 days. From the board of directors' point of view, it was clear that they must have had a full understanding of what the organisation is claiming and how they presented that claim to their stakeholders and their competitors. In the above case, it is highly unlikely that the board minutes alone would have protected directors personally if they had dissented, given the outright misleading information of their competitive advantage the company was trying to claim. But they could, in some small way, have assisted if the dissenting view was recorded. Directors need to understand that it is not enough to say that it's about right, and it will do. More importantly, if you are missing the expertise within the organisation, there is a higher risk of making false statements unintentionally. In respect of the above case, the decision is particularly noteworthy because the court specifically discussed the unfair competitive advantage to be gained from greenwashing, given today's heightened awareness of environmental issues, ethics, and principles that are likely to influence the average consumer's purchase choices. To pass the commercial practices test, the Italian court applied the guidelines issued by the European Commission, which provided that green environmental statements must be clear, true, accurate, not misleading, and based on robust, independent, verifiable, and generally recognised evidence, which must consider updated scientific findings and methods. The burden of proof resets on the trader, which must show evidence as to the accuracy of the factual claims in relation to commercial practice. It is also worth noting, in January 2021, the European Commission and national consumer authorities released the results of a survey focusing for the first time on greenwashing. The authorities found an astounding 42% of the 344 websites examined that there was reason to believe that green environmental claims made may be false or deceptive and could therefore potentially amount to unfair commercial practice under the Unfair Commercial Practices Directive. This is simply one area of ESG litigation. The question also arises, given directors and officers approving these messages, should the company directors themselves be held personally accountable for misleading statements by the organisation? Food for thought. I've been Rashmi Dubey, partner on ESG litigation with Gunner Cook. Thanks for listening.